Second Peter chapter 3, verse number 10 in your Bible. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned. The Bible says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and of course the first event in that whole time frame that's called the day of the Lord is the rapture. And I felt tonight that it would be good for us to think about the possible nearness of the coming of the Lord. Why we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Obviously, we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord because the apostles were looking for the coming of the Lord. We are told to be looking for the coming of the Lord. But tonight we'd like to talk about why we ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord. Now, as an introduction tonight, I think I'm going to shock you. Okay? And so those of you who have are very pure souls, you're going to have to brace yourself. Because we're going to give an illustration over the video, over the screen here. Just about 10 seconds, I think that's about all we could handle. It will be like an invasion of a foreign spirit into our auditorium. This last week it came out in church news that the son of a very, very, very prominent fundamentalist leader and other graduates, fellow graduates of this famous, well-known fundamental school, producing soft rock Christian, I shouldn't say that, there's no such thing as that, soft rock religious music. And to give you an illustration of where things are going, let's see what they're doing. Now, this is not charismatic church. This is a fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, anti-new evangelical, anti-world, I don't know about that, how much, a church that believes in gender distinction clothing, etc. But let's see what the sons of the faculty and friends of sons of fundamentalists are producing. Now, I don't want to get this place violated too much. But, you know, it was just 2 years ago that the president of Northland International University said, our music standard hasn't changed. Fireball preacher. And the last I heard about 2 years ago, he is still preaching. But you look at his church, worldliness, no standards, you know. Music was bad. And you know what he said? He said, people want that kind of preaching anymore. They don't want that kind of preaching. I love preaching, so I just gave up preaching against all those things. I gave up. And that's pretty well a pretty good status of independent Baptists. Now we have sons of preachers. sons of the great preachers. And here's an example. Here's a son of a great preacher. Soft rock. And you just wonder, you know, if his dad wasn't a preacher, what would he really be singing? What would he really be? They're singing this song on that video. It's called Ocean. And the words are repetition of Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. You know what that means? That means lead me wherever I am free for you to lead me wherever. It's nothing more than charismatic mysticism. It's the message, take me out of the box, take me beyond the words of Scripture, take me to any strange experience, I won't judge, I won't test. Now, those aren't the words that they're singing, but that's what that phrase means. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. That's the charismatic message. That leads to holy laughter. That leads to dogs barking. That leads to whatever. The Bible says, try the spirits whether they be of God. You know what? We are in a box. And this is the box. Right here. The Scripture is the box. And the message, not only is the music wrong, but the message is 100% opposed to the Word of God. It's charismatic mysticism. You know what charismatic mysticism leads to? It leads to the Pope is right. You know what charismatic mysticism leads to? Homosexuality is okay. Yeah, we have this leading religious singer in Great Britain just came out that she's a lesbian, has been for a long time. And she said, you know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. There's nothing wrong with what I believe and how I live. You know what? That's the message of the CCM singers. That's their message. The CCM music. You know what? It's mysticism. It's a spell. It's a religious spell that is put upon the people and brings them into delusion. And now they have a false god. And you know who the god is that they worship? The god of feeling. That's what it is. It's not the god of Scripture, it's the god of feeling. And you know what? CCM music, Christian contemporary music, is permeating. Permeating the churches. Permeating the churches. And you know what? Christian contemporary music is just rubbing shoulders with the false spirit of charismatic movement. And it's Big Brother is just plain old rotten rock music. You know, as a preacher, my heart's broken. I would think that these preachers' hearts are broken of where their children are going. And you know what? This is not isolated. This is not isolated. We have right in Milwaukee, we have one of these kind of churches. And the one of the pastors is the son of a man who has faithfully served God as a fundamental preacher for a long time. These aren't isolated cases, and we'll get there a little bit. You know, I'm thinking of a couple of verses in the Bible, and I think we should turn there. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 7. Verse 6 is, now you know that that which withholdeth, and now you know that, now ye know what behold, what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. The Bible talks about the fact that, the Antichrist and Satan is just ready to throw himself and reveal himself, but he's being resisted. He's being held back. And the liberals, like our president, if they could have what they wanted, wow, I tell you what. But they don't like Christians, because Christians who have convictions aren't going to change. But it says, but the mystery of iniquity does already work. The mystery of iniquity does already work. The book of John, let's turn to 1 John. First John chapter 2, it says this, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. As ye have heard that Antichrist come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. The last time. This spirit of iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, the spirit of the Antichrist is at work today. Now, remember what the Bible says about the devil. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And here we find about the devil. Okay? And we have some references here to the devil. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Which deceiveth the whole world. You know, Satan's ministry is a ministry of deception. And I've said this so many times, if people knew they were being deceived, they wouldn't be deceived. Deception has the power to deceive people. How would it deceive people? Obvious. They think that it's God, when it's the devil. That's deception. You understand that? They think it's God when it's the devil. That's the problem. The spirit of iniquity does already work. There are many antichrist. And you know, there's many people that that they really think that they're singing to the Lord. They really think that they're worshiping God. So the next reason is that there's a universal deception of mysticism that is taking place today. There's a universal deception of mysticism of CCM and Christian rock music. The truth of God is being replaced by a mystical feeling, and that mystical feeling is from the music. It's from the music. You know what? It's dangerous stuff. I hope there aren't young people in our church listening to that stuff. There probably is. But let me tell you what. It's of the devil. And it will delude you. It will lead you astray. It will give you a different and an improper definition of God. And it will lead you right down the devil's path. How many people do you know that have been rescued from it? Very few. It only gets worse and worse and worse. Why should we be looking for the Lord? Because over and over in Scripture, we see how lusts replace truth. Lust replace truth. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. You know, I challenge you, go to 2 Timothy, go to 2 Peter, go to Jude, and circle the word lust. It is a thematic truth of Christianity in the last days. Lust. What are lusts? Lusts are strong desires. They are this whole concept of I am living for my desires. Whatever they are. I'm living for my desires. And that's the theme. 2 Peter chapter number 2, I believe it is, verse 18. Says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. They speak great swelling words of vanity. These are wells without water, clouds carried about of a tempest. Boy, those are the same words as Jude, aren't they? You know, well, clouds without water, what is it talking about? Profession, profession, profession. Oh, profession. Now, number 4, why should we be looking for the coming of the Lord? Because self has replaced self-denial. Self has replaced self-denial. Isn't it true? One of these TV reality stars has printed a book called Self. Hollywood is known about selfies. It's all about self. But you know what Christianity is about? Selflessness. Matthew 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. That great truth, he said, Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. As we think about these things, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you see it? Do you see it? Do you feel it? Does it alarm you? Does it bother you? You know, if it doesn't, it means you are in it. You are affected by it. You are blinded by it. You have caught it. Lukewarmness. Lukewarmness. You know, I have somewhat against thee because thou art neither hot nor cold, but thou art lukewarm. You know, I was talking to one of the leading students, Christian students at UW. And I brought out the Great Commission. I says, you know, the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I says, you know, is that taking place? I mean, what kind of fervor is there? And he said, you know, I guess I'm just lukewarm. I guess I'm just lukewarm. I was talking to another university student, leading conservative Christian student at the university. And I says, where do you go to church? And he named the church. And he's convinced it's real conservative. I mean, they even preached on hell. I think, praise the Lord for that. But you know, it's got a Christian rock band, and they got the CCM music, and they don't have standards, and I says, well, how many students go there? He says, oh, about 100. 100. 10,000. 3 or 4 blocks away from that church, 10,000 students, they got 100. Most conservative students on campus going to a lukewarm church. Lukewarmness. Where is being sold out to God? How about young people? Where is being sold out to God? I think among some of our young people, that's not what they're thinking. Lukewarmness. You know, you read all these epistles of the last days, and it has also another recurring theme, and that is the prevalence of homosexuality. Jude talks about it, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. 2 Peter chapter 3. What does it say? 2 Peter chapter 3. And chapter 2, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, and he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow. You know, what's happening in our world is not just some federal judges that are able to usurp the voters' rights, but this is what is happening all over the world. Is there a movement of the devil in the last days? You judge. Just kind of as a summary thought here, I want us to understand something. The answer is that this is in the air. Do you understand that? It's in the air. You know, when you have large numbers of children of godly men who try to be godly becoming new evangelicals, it's in the air. It's in the air. The devil is working. Young people, you think that, oh, I just decide to be lukewarm. You know what? That's true. But I want you to understand, it's in the air. It's in the air. It's the spirit of Satan, the spirit of delusion. It's his working that's permeating our world today. It's in the air. You know, there's no place, parents, for middle of the road. There's no place for middle of the road. There's no place to stand back and say, well, we're in a good, strong church. We'll let the pastor and assistant pastors, and we'll let those strong people, we'll let them influence our kids. We can just kind of, you know, play the game a little bit. Doesn't work that way nowadays. It's in the air. It's in the air. Do you understand that? It's in the air. There's no room for playing games. We live in this age of delusion. We live in this age of Satan working. Just ask your children what kind of convictions they have. Ask them what kind of thoughts they have about the apostasy. Just find out what they're thinking. You might get shocked at their weakness. You might get shocked at their spirit of toleration of these things. You might be shocked at their lack of upheaval against these things. Maybe you don't have much conviction yourself. It's in the air. I mean, if you don't have it, and you're in this church, and you hear this preaching, kind of preaching all the time, and you don't have strong convictions, I tell you what, it's in the air. Second Peter and 3, it talks about the air. It says, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What's it saying? What's in the air? It's the Spirit that says there is no judgment. There is no right and wrong. There is no God who is coming to judge the world. That's the Spirit that's in the air. You know that. And that exactly what the Bible says is the spirit of the last days. You know, if you listen to the emos? Yeah, emos. You know, the young people who are all bitter, they dress in black, and everything's about them is black. You know, I remember we had some of them around here, and you know what their number one saying is? Don't judge. Don't judge me. You know what it's really saying? They're saying there's no judgment. There's no judgment. There's no coming judge. There's no God who is going to judge. There's no absolute wrong. There is no right. Everything is okay. That's the spirit of the air. Now don't let that spirit destroy your soul. Notice the context. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. God is withholding his judgment because of his love for souls. He is long-suffering to usward. The lack of his judgment isn't because he isn't a God of judgment. It's not because he is not going to come and judge and condemn this world. But the Bible says he is a God of long suffering so that people can be saved. You know, we need to replace that spirit that says there's no judgment. We need to replace it with the spirit that, you know what, there's a God who's long suffering and he wants to see people get saved. That's why he's not striking them dead. I've said this many times. You know, there's a lot of informative programs on the radio about the Muslims and the homosexuals and the liberals and all of that. But if you keep listening to that, instead of loving souls, you will put a barrier between you and souls. You will look at people as an enemy rather than souls that need to come to Jesus Christ. Notice what it says, verse 11 of chapter 3, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. We need to look at the world as all of this is going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And what is they saying? Don't get sucked into the Hollywood crowd. Don't get sucked into the movie star crowd. Don't get sucked into the rock star crowd. Don't get sucked into the sports star crowd. All this is going to be dissolved. It means nothing. It means nothing. We need to seek the things that are eternal. We need to seek the things that are eternal. And notice it says, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know what? God says that's the key to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Be unspotted from the world. Don't love the world. Don't advertise that you love the world. Don't tell people that's where your heart is. Don't be drawn after that. Be pure. Be without spot before the Lord. And notice verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. You know, when I think of that verse, I'm thinking, you know what is God's grace? God's grace is the supernatural ability there is in Jesus Christ. Supernatural ability. It says, grow in grace. Experience the supernatural transforming power of Jesus Christ. That's the answer in this day. I am convinced that all the music that is permeating Christianity, this bad music, this soft rock music, this mysticism, is all a cheap replacement of knowing the power of God. You know, Ravenhill said, Christians' love for entertainment is a picture of their lack of satisfaction in Jesus Christ. But you know, the transforming power of the gospel, of the Holy Spirit, of genuine conversion, it's just so wonderful. It's just so wonderful. You know, what a wonderful thing it is to have this young man come here this morning and hear the message and say, that was a powerful message. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. But that's the real thing. And that's what we need to be seeking, young person. Get close to God and get His power. Grow in grace and in knowledge. I mean, there's so much that we could say about that. But, boy, isn't there a day, wouldn't this be the day that we ought to know the Bible more than ever? If the devil's a great deceiver, isn't this a day that we ought to know the Bible more than ever? What do you think? I think so. I mean, we ought to be excited about learning God's Word. We ought to be excited about coming to church. We ought to be excited about reading our Bible. We ought to be excited about learning all we can about God's Word. Grow in grace and in knowledge. The Lord says that before his coming, there'd be strong delusion. There'd be a prominence of self. There'd be prominence of lukewarmness. There'd be a prominence of the deception and of the methods of Satan. Even as the book of Hebrews says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I realize that I just haven't been able to communicate tonight the significance of these truths. I feel like I haven't. But I trust that you will leave this place tonight meditating upon the reality of the day in which we live. And that you will ask God to give you discernment. You'll ask God to give you a sense of all the wrong thinking that is permeating Christianity today. So rather than get caught up in a stream and get caught up in whatever, that you'll be able to see straight in this day. Because there are many, many good people going astray today. That doesn't mean God stopped working, though, is it? Doesn't mean God stopped working. And I trust that we have a sense here, men, that you'll have a sense here of being spiritual leaders for truth and for God, and how important that is. And young people, that you will get it, that you will see it, that you will stand up for what's right, that you will not get deluded yourself. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for where we know you said there'd be perilous times will come. And certainly, Lord, we are in them. And we would like to think that, Lord, that we are exempt from delusion. We are exempt from weakness. We are exempt from being led astray. Lord, none of these things are true. We know even that it said in the tribulation period that the elect would be deceived if it were possible. And so, Lord, I pray that in your mercy that we would be alarmed, but that we would also be energized. We'd be alarmed at the direction of things, but that we would be energized to stand for what is right and to Lord, to stay true to you and to be fervent for thee more than ever before, and to make sure that we do not allow the little things of the world to suck us in and capture our souls. Lord, I pray for those young people that are here. I pray for those that are listening to the wrong kind of music, dabbling with these borderline songs because of the feel. Lord, may they realize it's not just a feel, it's satanic mysticism that will draw away their soul. It's aimed at their loss. Lord, we pray that you would be merciful to us and work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.